Welcome to the Prioritizing Prevention, Translating Science to Practice podcast. Our goal is to prioritize prevention conversations that matter. Our topic for today is caring for mental health for the holiday season with special guests, Burke Steinman, Jessica Zavala, and Maureen Fagans. Now here's our host, Holly Raffle.
Hello, and welcome to episode 10 of season 2 on Prioritizing Prevention, Translating Science to Practice. This podcast is hosted by the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion. My name is Holly Raffle, and I have the privilege of serving as faculty director of the center. For some, the holiday season is a time filled with anticipation, joy, and celebration. For others, this time of year can also activate difficult emotions, thoughts, or traumas, all of which can impact mental health and substance use. Many of us in the behavioral health prevention and promotion field recognize the importance of supporting mental health during this festive time. So today's podcast dives into holiday stress, social isolation, and loneliness from three different perspectives. And while this episode is focused on the holidays, many of the ideas shared today will support the prioritization of mental health all year round. This episode, we are joined by Jessica Zavala, Director of the Ohio Program for Campus Safety and Mental Health at Northeast Ohio Medical University, who will be talking about the experiences of international students during the holidays. Jessica has been the Director of the Ohio Program for Campus Safety and Mental Health at NeoMed since 2021. This program promotes mental health awareness, suicide prevention, and stigma reduction at Ohio's institutions of higher education. With over 15 years of experience in community behavioral health, she collaborates with campus and community stakeholders to deliver evidence-based mental health programming. Welcome, Jessica.
Hello, and thank you so much for this opportunity.
In addition, I'm pleased to introduce Maureen Fagans, Executive Director and CEO of United Senior Services in Clark County, Ohio, who will be sharing how her organization addresses the mental health and well-being of older adults. For more than 55 years, USS has been the leading advocate, community resource, and change agent for people age 55 and better across Clark County. And for the past 11 years, Maureen has been the executive director and CEO of the organization. Her background as an urban planner and consensus builder serves the agency well as they work toward improving their reach to older adults living independently in Clark County by expanding services, recreation, education, and facilities. Maureen, we're so glad you're here.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Last, but certainly not least, I'm grateful that Burke Steinman, Senior Prevention Coordinator from Prevention Action Alliance, is joining us today to discuss how PAA is working to support individuals impacted by traumatic loss during the holiday season. Burke serves PAA as Senior Prevention Coordinator of Special Projects. In this role, she is responsible for managing and coordinating projects related to the Grief Advocacy Program, or GAP Network, and statewide gambling prevention initiatives. The GAP Network aims to bring information, education, advocacy opportunities, networking, and support to individuals who've lost a loved one to an overdose and to family engagement groups that are working to end addiction to prescription drugs and opioids in Ohio. Welcome, Burke.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, thank you all for being here. And to get us started, our listeners really enjoy getting to know you all beyond your bio. So we always hold some time at the beginning of the show where you can share a little bit with our listeners about something, you know, who you are beyond your bio. So maybe a little bit about what your work looks like on the daily, which part of your work you enjoy most, or a little nugget about who you are as a person. Jessica, would you like to go first?
Sure, I'd be happy to go first. And thank you so much, Dr. Raffle, for that warm introduction. And also thank you so much to the Center of Excellence for this opportunity to participate on this podcast. So part of my role also includes serving on various committees, amongst other prevention-related endeavors, which can include seeking and providing guidance and recommendations, and also insight to support campus-based mental health initiatives. And so really, that's where our efforts as a coordinating center of excellence really comes in for education, training, and support. We have really worked for the past decade or so and expanded our efforts to ensure that students, staff, and faculty are exposed to mental health and suicide prevention messaging and, of course, evidence-based training. We estimate that more than 90,000 have been exposed to this messaging. And, of course, we also believe that addressing mental health issues that can range from depression, anxiety, and then also suicide will assist students to be successful academically. Lastly, I'll say, in addition to my work with the Ohio Program for Campus Safety and Mental Health, I really enjoy connecting to nature. And so I reside in Northeast Ohio, and we have access to some really beautiful metro parks here. And whenever I can find the time, which is usually on the weekends, I try my best to complete a hiking spree or a walk on one of the trails. In addition, it's been my personal passion to connect with youth and young adults and assist them to access services that promote health, wellness, and well-being. So in a sense, you can almost say that this work has chosen me, and it's really been an untold reward for this past 15 years to help youth and young adults become connected.
Jessica, I really appreciate you kind of sharing the little nugget about yourself and how you're working hard to practice that wellness piece that you work so hard so faculty, staff, and students across Ohio are well, and you're doing that for yourself. I just can't state how important that is for walking the walk. Appreciate that so much. Maureen, how about you?
Sure. I'm happy to be here. So thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity. And some of my comments echo what Jessica said. We all start the day with our list of the things we're going to accomplish. And at the end of the day, we look at that list and realize we have to transfer it to the next day, because our days are spent interacting with people and providing them the time and the energy that is required of the work we do. One of the things that Jessica said that really resonated with me is I represent a senior center. I run a senior center, a social service organization. And I also represent senior centers across the state. And we have spent a long time trying to redefine our centers as wellness centers. We recognize that there are dimensions to wellness, and that for us to only concentrate on one aspect or another of what it means to live, have a high quality of life and live successfully requires that we concentrate our efforts on multiple dimensions of wellness. And so that is part of our work at United Senior Services. The other thing that is interesting about the work we do, of course, it's purposeful, and it's and we know we're making a positive difference every single day. So that impact is reflected in us. It never gets old. It never gets boring. And we know we're making a difference in people's lives. So that's wonderful. And we do it in partnership with our community partners. We're all better organizations when we have the partners surrounding us and supporting each other. And that's an important aspect of the work that we do at our center, but at senior centers across the state as well.
Thank you so much, Maureen. And I'll just have to say that hearing you say out loud that you transfer things from today's to-do list to tomorrow and so forth, because you really listen to the people you're around and provide them the time, attention, and energy that they deserve was really important for me to hear, because I thought I was the only one who had to do that. So thank you.
Well, I imagine this resonates with everybody. I mean, we all, because we're living our passion, working our passion, that's the way our days evolve. I don't think it's unique to me. I imagine everybody sitting here has a, yep, me too.
Absolutely. And I also found it so interesting to hear that so much of the work that you do with the population that you serve in senior centers is very similar to what Jessica described for what they do with institutions of higher education. And so that brings us to Burke. Burke, can you talk a little bit about your daily and have our guests get to know you beyond your bio?
course, I'd love to. Well, first off, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here. And so Prevention Action Alliance is a statewide prevention agency. And my day-to-day typical role falls within our special projects department. So I work a lot on upcoming conferences such as our Ohio Alcohol Conference, our Emerging Trends Summit. I also work a lot on our problem gambling services as well as the GAP Network, which is why I'm here today. So I guess something that's I'm very passionate about in this role and a little bit about me personally is that inside the GAP Network, there are so many wonderful men and women who I find inspiration from every single day. And it really does play a role in why I'm so passionate about prevention is seeing people who have gone through very traumatic loss and traumatic grief, and they turn that pain and grief into prevention and advocacy and working with individuals who have lost someone to substance misuse or suicide or a stigmatized loss. And so that's something I draw inspiration from every single day, to see people who have gone through so much and still choose every day to create their own nonprofits or get involved in the GAP Network. And so I guess a little bit outside of that, I'm also in Northeast Ohio, and I live very near Acacia Park. And so, Jessica, going off what you said, hiking and getting outside and connecting with nature is also super important to me, and also a very therapeutic way to, you know, finish our days after. Sometimes prevention can be a little bit heavy, so being able to get outside is amazing.
Thank you so much, Burke. And again, just I appreciate the testament, all three of you, for how you work so hard to understand the populations that you serve, and also to see the populations you serve as a source of assets, right? And how that prevention looks to work with people where they're at and support them in mental health and well-being. And since our priority today on this podcast is mental health and well-being during the holidays, I'd like to start with a little deeper dive into the populations that you serve and are here to discuss. So to that end, I have a two-part question for each of you to answer. The first part of the question is what should we as a prevention community know specifically about the priority of population you serve in order to better consider their needs in prevention programming? And then as a follow-up, from your experience, what are the prevention needs when it comes to mental health and well-being during the holidays? Maureen, let's start with you and the needs of older adults.
Okay, sure. This one I thought about from a number of different directions. Because I believe so strongly in the multiple dimensions of wellness, and because we concentrate our programming in many different ways in order to address wellness, we do see a lot of success. We have a large population in Clark County. We serve approximately 20% of that large population through our doors in some capacity. There were a couple of key points that I thought was important for me to mention regarding this. We all bump into stereotypes and biases in our work, and the older population is no different. And I can speak because I'm one of them. We all have the same dreams, and we all intend to and work toward living active, independent, purposeful lives, regardless of our age. And if we're lucky enough to have that gift of longevity, there, you know, sometimes we might see physical and or cognitive changes, emotional changes. But everybody wants to be treated with dignity and respect, regardless of the age group or the generation that we might represent. And because of ageism, because of age discrimination, we do see some marginalization, some degrading of older people. And because the older generation has been generally lived a long, successful many years through careers and raising families, there's a stigma we see a stigma in asking for support. And whether it's support for a trauma that just will not heal, or if it's condition that we're working through because it's now part of our life, there's a resistance to asking for support. And so I think many of my fellow senior center directors will share that we need to make certain that we're building prevention and emotional support into all of the programming that we offer, whether it's an exercise class or an art class or a card club or et cetera. I mean, I could go on. The point is our staff are focused on trauma-informed care, regardless if they're teaching yoga or if they're, sewing a quilt. We try to meet people where they are. And because of the stigma that we see, especially in the older population, we have figured out ways in order to be supportive so that some of our clientele don't have to overtly ask for it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And for our listeners out there, we know that SAMHSA has their 8 dimensions of wellness, and we'll make sure that we put those 8 dimensions of wellness into our show notes. So for those of you who are listening to us while you're driving or out hiking or doing self-care, you'll be able to find that link when you return back to your computer. So Maureen, the second part of the question is what are the prevention needs when it comes to mental health and well-being that are very specific to holiday?
Well, let's start with dignity and respect. Our clientele want to be a part of the holidays, and sometimes the smallest kindness can bolster their spirits. As organizations such as my senior center, we offer multiple ways for people to get involved in holiday activities at our centers and with their peers. Now, of course, that's not a substitute for being with family. It does help with some of the loneliness and the recognition that people are are not together. It's important that we continue in our work that we continue with physical, social, and purposeful activities so that we offer an opportunity to be busy, to be with people.
Thank you so much, Maureen. I really appreciate your purpose and intention about thinking through needs and using a framework to do that, right? So when you're thinking of multiple dimensions of wellness, it really allows you to hit all of those components and ensure that nothing is forgotten when it comes to the needs of older adults. What I'd like to do now is turn our attention to the needs of the international student community. Jessica, can you let us know, what are some important things to know about that community as a whole, but also what are some of those prevention needs that you've seen from your experience when it comes to the holidays?
Yeah, no, certainly, Dr. Raff, I do appreciate what's been said from Maureen and certainly Burke's perspective. But one piece that I'll quickly dive into here is that campus mental health is still a serious concern. And although there was some recent data released, and specifically from the Healthy Minds study that shows an improvement in student mental health, anecdotally, we are still hearing that more students than ever are seeking help, right? In addition, suicide is the second leading cause of death for individuals 10 to 24 years old, as well as college students. We know that only 26% of college students are aware of campus mental health resources. And of course, depression is a significant predictor for dropping out. I'll also note when it comes to certain student populations, specifically BIPOC, perhaps even first generation or international students or other marginalized groups, These students have been disproportionately impacted for some time. So that's something to really, really keep in mind if we think and go back to COVID-19. Specifically, their mental health needs have been harder hit and more severely impacted. They may have even experienced the loss of a loved one at a greater rate. And certainly when we look at economic fallout or ongoing uncertainty, right, there's a lot of uncertainty right now with the future, and international students certainly may be persistent. And so when it comes to needs, we believe that in making meaningful connections, students need to make meaningful connections so they can feel as though they belong. And we know that, for example, international students and other students who feel and have that connection, that their experience, even entering into the workforce, can help them to build those skills of resilience, collaboration, teamwork, resourcefulness, amongst other things. And so suffice it to say that college is such an important and developmental time for many as they transition to adulthood, and certainly, again, for international students in this particular population, that it's very important that they have access and can access programming that promotes health, wellness, and well-being. So these services are vital for this particular student population.
Thank you so much, Jessica, for talking about the entire student body and then talking about specific needs for different groups. And also really appreciate the call out to the Healthy Mind Survey. We'll definitely put a link to that in our show notes, so folks who are listening to us can go back and click on that and dive into that data a little bit more. Burke, I intentionally saved you for last because the population the GAP program serves, individuals impacted by traumatic loss, knows no boundaries. Most of us in prevention are familiar with the term intersectionality, and older adults and college students can both be impacted by traumatic losses as well. So, Burke, can you talk a little bit about the specific population, what preventionists need to know, as well as special considerations for holiday season?
Yeah, of course. Well, Maureen and Jessica, I think you both made such amazing points about stigma reduction and also college students and international students experiencing grief and loss. And to go a little bit more into what the GAP Network does, just to explain kind of our population. So GAP stands for Grief Advocacy Prevention, and we provide grief education, prevention trainings, advocacy opportunities for people or loved ones who have lost someone due to what we call stigmatized loss. So a loss that has preconceived notions about it. People may have judgments surrounding it, such as substance misuse, overdose, or suicide, or even incarceration. So that is a population that we really try to connect with. And so when thinking about what I would like people to know, or what I think they need, is I think one of the biggest things is to know that this population exists. And oftentimes when a topic has so much stigma surrounding it, it's very hard to discuss, especially stigma compiled or surmounted on grief and loss, both very difficult topics to talk about. And so when someone experiences a stigmatized loss, such as substance misuse or suicide, they often don't want to talk about it because they have fear of being judged. They have a fear that it's a reflection on their family or their loved one, and it makes it very hard to talk about. In addition to that, you have people who can see someone grieving or struggling, but don't know how to address that and don't know how to have a conversation about it, because it can be very difficult, especially when it comes to suicide or overdose. People don't know the correct terminology. People don't know what to say and what not to say. And so when those two things combine, it kind of creates this almost vacuum of people don't know they exist because no one's talking about it. No one wants to talk about grief. No one wants to talk about it during the holidays. So that's something I would love to bring to the forefront, is just addressing the grief and loss community. And the GAP Network, although we do cater a lot to those who have experienced a traumatic loss or a stigmatized loss, we also really like to acknowledge that grief and loss isn't isn't only in this one community. Unfortunately, grief and loss is a universal experience, and everyone's going to be impacted by grief, even if it's not a loved one dying. It can be international students grieving, not being with their families anymore, having to grieve the loss of a loved one that's thousands of miles away, or Maureen, to your point, older adults experiencing loss later in life, and people just think, oh, that's the circle of life, or, you know, they're getting older, that's just something that happens. And I think it's really important and for people to know that regardless of you know, where you come from or what stage of life you're in, it's really important to address grief and loss, and just learn to have an open and honest conversation, which, going to people's needs of our community, I think one, those open and honest conversations, I think, will really help with that stigma reduction and the knowledge that the population exists. But also something we try to focus on is grief education. And so inside grief education, you know, teaching people how to have conversations about grief, what grief looks like, what stigmatized loss looks like, you know, myths and facts. There's so many misconceptions when it comes to grief and loss. So I think it's really important to educate our community on substance misuse and suicide, but also the grief aspect of it, and really try to knock down those barriers when it comes to stigma, and, you know, help lead to those open and honest conversations that, although they may be difficult to have, really can benefit us as a community.
Thank you so much, Burke, for pointing out and expanding upon those intersectionalities that we see when it comes to grief and loss, understanding that's a universal experience. So, of course, when you look at older adults or when you look at college students, we would expect them to share in that experience in some way, shape, or form. And, of course, we'll put some links in the show notes to the GAP Network, as well as any resources that you would like to share. So the three of you are serving very different populations and groups, but I heard a lot of connections and similarities. So after hearing each other speak, I'm just curious, what connections did you all find that show similar needs across these three different priority populations? And I'll just leave it up to kind of you all to sort of popcorn in with some connections that you felt during this conversation today.
I'm happy to start. And I can say this for everybody, I'm sure. The pandemic really highlighted the universal need for social connections. And in the older population, that social isolation was especially difficult for people who may not be able to regain all of their abilities after a prolonged isolation. But the need for social connection was so apparent during the pandemic. It remains apparent, and it remains difficult for some people to either return to or develop a new sense of fulfillment with socializing. I mean, we still see some hesitancy.
Yeah, and if I could chime in, I echo everything that was shared in terms of the pandemic, and we're still seeing, unfortunately, the impact upon students after, you know, being isolated, many of them in their residence halls or whatever that campus community living experience may be. But in particular, for international students, you're right, you're away from home. And if there's the experience of losing a loved one or grief, which I think the GAP Network, thank you so much for sharing those details, could be an organic connection for students who have experienced loss and grief to know that we have this wonderful resource right here in our own backyards. But I'll also mention that, you know, they have to adapt to a whole new culture and integrate into a local community. And that's challenging, right? And we can imagine that challenge can take its toll. And very similar, I would even think, to the senior population, right? That you may oftentimes even be surrounded by lots of people depending on where you're residing, but that still can feel lonely at times. So I think just recognizing too that, you know, you have a community, but there's other connections that's needed, acknowledging these, you know, what strategies can we come up? What resources are here? So I'll leave my point there.
Jessica, I would love to connect. I am so passionate about the GAP Network and connecting with honestly anyone. So after this, Maureen, you made such an amazing point earlier. And I think it really just draws this all in together for me is when you're talking about respect and empathy and Jessica thinking about kids and young adults who are coming into a new environment and having to adapt and older adults who may be experiencing different levels of their independence later in life or different relationships with relatives. I think it's really easy for people to empathize and understand and look at someone and think, what are they going through? And so I think that's something that we can really try to put into our prevention and our everyday conversations is just the thought of how can I treat this person with respect and dignity and think, you know, what are they experiencing? Because as I can't personally, I cannot imagine having to move and experience an entirely different culture, make new family and friends, be away from my family. I also can't even begin to imagine what it's like to lose family members as I age. And I think it's really important for us in the prevention field to teach other people and implement that into our own prevention, just having just 10 seconds of thinking, oh, let me think about the way I'm going to interact with this person and what are they going through and kind of how does that inform my prevention and my decision making throughout the day and kind of promoting that throughout our communities. I think you both said such amazing things and I think putting them together in our prevention is just such an amazing idea.
So I know this is the first time we've all been together as a group and maybe some of the first time that you all have interacted with one another. And I'm just curious, what did you learn from each other today that you can add to your practice right away?
I think one of the biggest things that I'm learning from both of you is how to adapt to working with different populations. I think it's very easy to get very almost siloed in the work that you do, knowing that there are so many populations that I'm not thinking of. I almost sound hypocritical saying we need to know that the grief and loss community exists, but I need to take a step back and learn that, wow, there's so many other groups of people that I don't address personally that I can improve my prevention.
As a social service agency, you know, we're not providing clinical services, but not to suggest that the work we do isn't important. It's just that it's not clinical. And listening to another perspective about prevention services is always good for me to know that there are additional partners out there that can help us reach somebody when we know we need to reach them and we're stuck, you know, we can't. So it's been very nice for me to hear what's happening in other parts of the state and with other populations and how you rely on partners. It gives me hope that there are partners out there that that if I don't get siloed and keep my head down, I'm going to be able to find you. So I appreciate that.
I guess what I'll add and what has been an eye opener or even refreshing in a sense is that we do have, you know, some really great resources here in the state of Ohio. And when students show up, they may be between a typical or average age. But certainly they come with families. They also have their own unique and cultural exchanges as well. And so that's important, too. And I think what I'm beginning to envision and almost to think about is that a student may present or come for one reason with seeking help, but there may be other resources that we can suggest and share with them. And I've certainly gained some insight today from both Berg and Maureen on other resources that are available. And really, we want to think and consider the whole student. And that also includes families that they have that, you know, they can refer for resources as well.
Thank you so much, Burke, Jessica, and Maureen, for your time today. Well, I can see opportunities for this conversation to keep moving forward. It's getting time for us to land this plane. So to help us transition out of our podcast today, we've reached this special time on our podcast where we ask our guests a handful of rapid-fire questions to close our conversation. And I know our listeners particularly enjoy this because I get emails with people answering the questions. And I know I've said on a couple other podcasts, my mom listens to this. So she always texts me after she listens what her answers are. And these are just meant to be kind of fun questions to kind of round out. Our topic has been the holiday season. So keeping that in mind, my first question is, would you rather have to cook the big holiday meal every year or have to clean up and do the dishes after the holiday meal every year? Marie, how about you first?
I am the cook, and the deal is I don't have to clean up, and I don't want it any other way.
How about you, Burke?
I'm going to go with cook. I love to cook. My husband's a great cook, and so if we're working together, it usually goes pretty well. So we're hosting on Friday instead of Thursday this year, so fingers crossed.
And how about you, Jessica?
I'm going to absolutely say cook. I have gathered some of what I would call grandma's recipes over the past few years, and it is a pleasure. And it's really my thing that I like to do is to really get in the kitchen and put together some great recipes and great dishes for my family.
Sounds like I know three places where I'd like to go for Thanksgiving this year. Our second question, and we'll start with you, Jessica. Would you rather volunteer to help a friend wrap presents or shop for presents?
I am definitely a shopper. There is something I believe called retail therapy. And so I definitely feel as though I could be effective and helping a friend put together a good budget and to eye some good deals that will be coming up this holiday season.
How about you, Maureen?
I agree with Jessica. I think there is such a thing as retail therapy as well. I would much prefer to shop than wrap. Wrapping happens on Christmas Eve sometimes after I've gone to bed and realized that I forgot to wrap things. It's always the last thing I do because I just don't enjoy it as much as the buying. Yes.
How about you, Burke?
I'm going to go with wrapping. Shopping is not my strongest suit. I struggle to find gifts for people. I do my best, but no, I would love to. I just drink a cup of coffee and wrap gifts for, you know, a couple hours. I think it's fun.
There's another connection we just made, Jessica.
I see. Absolutely.
And this is the final question. And we ask this of all of our podcast guests. So you're reaching into that candy dish. Are you looking for a plain M&M or a peanut M&M? How about you, Burke?
Well, the one time I go first, I'm completely unprepared.
It's plain or peanut?
Oh my goodness. I'm going to go with peanut M&M, you know, love them. I love peanuts. I love peanut butter. I would prefer Reese's if I could choose, but I will go with peanut M&M.
Sounds good. How about you, Jessica?
Yeah, ditto. Peanut M&Ms, peanut butter. I can make anything out of peanut butter. Matter of fact, there's a recipe for peanut butter pie that I'd be happy to share if that comes up, but definitely the peanut M&M.
We'll put that recipe in the show notes. How about you, Maureen? Are you plain or peanut?
Well, could I move my finger around in the bowl and maybe find some sour gummy bears down below? Because that would be my favorite.
You're the first person who's asked that. So, of course, we'll look for those sour gummy bears. Well, thank Thank you, Jessica Burke and Maureen, for sharing your time and experience with us. And thank you to our listeners for joining us on the Ohio Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion podcast, Prioritizing Prevention. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to help support the podcast, please consider giving us a 5-star rating, sharing it with others, posting about it on social media, or setting the podcast to automatically download on your favorite channel. Doing so helps us reach more listeners and keeps the conversation going. To catch all the latest from the center, follow us on LinkedIn, Instagram, X, and Facebook at OH Prevention COE, or visit us at preventioncoe.ohio.gov to sign up for our monthly newsletter. If you missed our last podcast, it was with George Hicks, President and Executive Director of ARC Builders, and Tracy Johnson, Principal of TTJ Group and former SAMHSA Regional Technical Assistance Director. During our conversation, we reflected on the progress they have seen in prevention because of the Strategic Prevention Framework and the implementation of the Strategic Prevention Framework in organizations and in communities. You can catch this podcast and all of our content on our YouTube channel or your favorite podcast outlet. This podcast was produced by Ivory Lloyd at Global Insight Productions and is supported by Angela Zhang at the Center of Excellence for Behavioral Health Prevention and Promotion. Thank you all for working to get positive prevention content out in the world.
This has been the Prioritizing Prevention Podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on Spotify, YouTube, Google Play, Apple Music, and many more. This program is funded by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services. For more information about us, please visit preventioncoe.ohio.gov. Thank you for listening.